It's time to get away. And to help get you there, it's Travel Bags with Anita and Friends. From around the world to across Georgia, she covers it all. Here's the host of Travel Bags, Anita Thomas.
Hello, 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 and welcome aboard Travel Bags with Anita and Friends. We're glad to have you all joining us today because we have a really exciting show today, Doc Bill.
Oh, it's going to be a great show today.
And have you been anywhere exciting?
I've been to beautiful Sapelo Island.
Well, you know, I always love going to Sapelo Island too, but I had a great trip to Italy. A wonderful time, but some great things going on Sapelo. I think the Red Pea Project is really starting to take off there, isn't it?
Well, the Red Pea Project's starting to take off, and it's great. You know, we had a big turnout this year, and we're planting that second crop of peas. The first crop did okay, but we had a lot of rain, so we'll have a larger crop the second crop, so we're looking forward to that.
Well, that's good news. You know, it's always good to have good news because there's been so much bad news in the news recently about all the airplanes and accidents and things going on, that it's good to have some good news. And what I want to share today, talk about today, is really something really good. And that's Amelia Rose Earhart. And she has the namesake of the first Amelia Earhart, who in 1937 took off heading around the world, and didn't successfully make that journey. So Amelia Rose has actually successfully made that journey, and we're going to have her join us today and talk about that trip.
Well, I'm looking forward to that. That's an incredible journey.
Well, it is an incredible journey, and I have so many questions to ask her just about how she planned for that, you know, really the emotional side for that, because with it being her namesake, I would think it sort of had an extra, you know, emotions there for her actually retracing that same routing that Amelia did back in 1937. So when we think about air travel, you know, so much has changed, and there's so many new ways to navigate, you know, the skies nowadays, that I think also too that she'll have some really interesting things to talk about, some of the new things as well. Now, Amelia obtained her private pilot's license in 2010, and she's only 31 years old, so she's actually 9 years younger than Amelia in 1937 when she set out to do this. And she also does a lot to encourage young girls to become interested in flying. She has a foundation called the Fly with Amelia Foundation, which grants flight training scholarships to young women between the ages of 16 to 18 to really foster that interest in aviation and get them interested in aviation. So I've talked enough. I want to bring Amelia on because I have so many great questions for her. So Amelia, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you so much for having me on. I'm so glad to be back from our successful flight around the world.
And congratulations on your very successful and fascinating flight, too. What an adventure.
Thank you. You know, it was a great adventure. It was beautiful. You know, the places we traveled through 14 countries, 28,000 miles, and we had beautiful, safe weather the entire time, a great aircraft, and so many stories now to tell now that we've been back.
Well, that sounds great, and we really want to hear all of those stories because it's so fascinating, because your flight actually retraced the route of the famed aviator and your namesake, Amelia Earhart, who set out in 1937 on this very same route. So when and where did you actually start, and how long was the total flight? Tell us a little bit of the details.
We started on June 26th in Oakland, California, because that's where Amelia began her flight in 1937, and I wanted to recreate that flight as closely as I possibly could. So I was able to match up 10 of her stops, matched up against 16 of the stops that we made on our flight. And, you know, choosing that route was so critical to the geopolitical situations heading through Africa as well as the Middle East. So we had to divert in a couple locations. But all in all, the trip, like I said, took 18 days to complete. We flew every day with the exception of 2 days. And when we made our way through Darwin, we did an engine check before we crossed the South Pacific. We wanted to work with our Pratt & Whitney teams and just give one more look at the engine before we made that huge ocean crossing.
Yeah, that is a very huge ocean crossing. Now, what type airplane did you all fly?
So we flew the Pilatus PC-12NG, which is a single-engine turboprop, and it's got an incredibly reliable airframe and also engine. We were running the PT-6 engine, which is, you know, just got a great track record in terms of ocean flying, in terms of flying all over the globe. And the avionics in the airplane were also completely state-of-the-art. And when I thought about recreating this flight, you know, you can go one of two routes. You can go with older technology to get closer to what Amelia flew, or you can use today's technology, you know, GPS, synthetic vision, and all the radios and all the equipment that we have. And I really wanted to use today's technology to complete the flight because we wanted to do it safely. We wanted to honor Amelia by recreating that route, but, you know, bringing her legacy home safely to Oakland.
Well, absolutely, because I know she used the stars and the maps as her navigation to on that route.
She did. She used celestial navigation and, you know, very limited forms of access to radio communication and also, you know, knowing where she was, as in the research they had done on the ground and then translating that to what her and her navigator, Fred Noonan, were able to do in the cockpit. So we've definitely got a lot more useful technology today, and boy, did we use it. I mean, we had waypoints set up all across the globe and did check-ins on air traffic control with controllers from around the world. And it was really encouraging as we were flying over areas like Brazil and Africa. You know, people that I would never before meet or never have a reason to meet were checking in on the radio saying, Amelia, we heard about your trip. Good luck. We love what you're doing. And so it was just so encouraging to get those messages.
That is very encouraging. I can see how that would be. Now, you mentioned how many miles you flew and how many stops. So how were you received in each of those stops? Were there crowds and media along the way on your actual stops?
There really were. And, you know, every stop was different. Every stop felt very unique in terms of the way that we were welcomed. And then a few stops were totally quiet where no one knew we were there. And what happened, let's see, we had a great reception in Dakar, Senegal. That was one spot in particular that was a beautiful reception. A women's leadership organization came out, and there were about six women all in beautiful white gowns, and they brought a small child with them, a little girl who, you know, will most likely grow up with some pretty amazing leaders, being as though she was surrounded by those types of women already. And she was carrying a big bouquet of flowers and walked right up to me and gave me a big hug. And so, you know, things like that really stuck in my mind. And the way people took time out of their day to come and join us on our journey was really special. And then we were sharing the pictures and the videos and the images as we went on social media to keep everybody back home, you know, on the adventure with us and knowing where we were at what time and what everything was going like. So it was so encouraging.
And that's amazing that you could do that with social media and have everyone really come along with you as part of the journey. That's really amazing.
It was so much fun. You know, we created the hashtag FlyWithAmelia, and I wanted to give people an opportunity to inspire their own adventures by watching our flight around the world. And, you know, it's not necessarily about making sure everybody gets into an airplane. You know, flying is fun, and I do run a foundation that puts young women through flight school, so I want to encourage those types. But I think personal adventure for anybody, whether it's something as simple as, you know, getting out of the house and making a few new friends or possibly going back to school or starting a business. You know, adventure is what you make it. And we had a lot of really positive notes come through on social media about people saying, you know, we're watching the flight, we're really inspired, and we're going to get out and take those first few steps.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Now I'm talking with Amelia Rose Earhart, and she's talking about her flight where she retraced the route of the famed aviator and her namesake, Amelia Earhart. Now, I do have this question. Did you take anything along with you for Amelia, a photograph, a quote, or anything with you as inspiration since you were retracing her route?
Absolutely, we did. In fact, we took several things along that were special to me that were commemorative of Amelia's flight. And the first that, you know, a lot of people saw because we took pictures of it on social media was a little black and white photograph of Amelia in her lettuce flight cap. And, you know, when you think about old school aviation and you picture the circular dials in the cockpit of an airplane, you know, the old soldiers, they used to tuck their wife or their sweetheart's picture, you know, into those dials and keep it there as they flew to remember them why they were flying and also what they were coming back to. And so kind of in honor to that, we tucked Amelia's picture in the cockpit just in different spots across the avionics. And she was always floating around somewhere in the airplane. There were times when that picture was back in the cabin. There were times that it was up front. There were times it was kind of tucked into a window pane. But that was one of the things that really kept us on track with why we were doing this mission. Another thing that I took along was it's basically a piece of a seat, a leather aircraft seat, that was donated to a museum years ago. And it was from one of Amelia's planes, the Lockheed Vega.
And this wasn't the airplane that she flew around the world, obviously, but the Lucky Vega was reskinned. It's got a canvas cover on it. And when they reskinned it, they cut that plane apart into tiny little squares, and they sold them as commemorative pieces of Amelia's plane. And so one of those was sent to me, and I took it around the world with me. So I actually had a piece of Amelia's plane inside of our Pilatus.
Oh, wow. You know, that is so touching what you're saying there. I mean, that really means that she was right there with you, and I'm sure encouraging you along on the journey. That's really awesome. That's very touching.
Well, thank you. I'd like to think that, you know, if in some way Amelia knew about our trip, that she really would look down and say, you know, go for it. This is exactly what we wanted to do, inspire other women to get out and fly. And there's a really famous quote by Amelia from back in the 1930s where she basically says, and I'm paraphrasing here, but she says, you know, the reason that I'm doing these trips and making these record-setting attempts is to encourage the women of tomorrow to fly tomorrow's aircraft. And that's exactly what we're doing. You know, I'm inspired by her 77 years later. And now there's a whole new group of young women that are getting out there and taking their first flight lessons and leading towards a life of adventure and really true passion.
That is really awesome. Now, Amelia, can you stay with us? Because we have to take a break, but there are so many more questions that I have and that I'd love to hear about your journey and really hear about you and your life. So if you can stay with us, we're going to take a quick break. This is Travel Bags with Anita and Friends. We're talking with Amelia Rose Earhart about her wonderful flight, and we'll be back in a few minutes on North Georgia's News Talk, WDUN.
She's just a girl and she's on fire, hotter than a fantasy, lonely like a highway. She's living in a world and it's on fire, filled with catastrophe, but she knows she can fly away. Oh.